My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone. I forgot what I'm fighting for. When the weight of the world keeps you up at night, when you're running with no end in sight, thought you would never find the light you lost inside, that you could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart. Oh, when the road gets rough, just look up above. You will find God in the stars. When the weight of the world keeps you up at night, when you're that you could find with Christ. Been running in the dark, just trying to heal your scars. Tried everything but turned to God. 'Cause it all starts with you. If you wanna break through, you're gonna need God to find your truth. That you could find with Christ. If you're one with Christ.
Hey, good morning, Patriots. And it is Monday, March 4th in the year 2024. I'm going to give a quick update on Leah and Michelle's mom, and then we're going to talk about some of the discoveries that have come from that, which is pretty interesting, and I would say fairly dark, which why would I be surprised or anybody be surprised in this day and age? So Leah's mom ate for the first time last night in 2 weeks, which is huge. She's had a sodium level that was very, very low, and they needed to get it up to 130 on the blood ratings. They got it up to 126, and so they expect that she'll be stabilized probably by later today and will probably be heading home tomorrow. This is a really big thing. I didn't realize the risk of this, and we're going to talk about sodium in a minute and where I think it's coming from. Obviously, this thing that's going around has a lot of issues. It's congestion in the chest. There is other reports of low sodium levels. So electrolytes are obviously a big part of that. And in the process, Leah and Michelle just wanted to express a huge thank you to everybody's prayers. The word is they worked. And then I'm going to read this as well. I just got this from Leah. She's much better today. She ate for the first time in 2 weeks. Doctor is really pleased. Praise God. Big turnaround from yesterday. God has led us to some really great connections and divine encounters. Talked with the blood draw lady about food and farming. Some with our nurse, who is just like us, really real food, anti-vax, natural remedies. they actually, the first nurse they had, they couldn't stand, and they were praying on it. And the next day, lo and behold, a nurse that came in that was for their mother was anti-vax, anti-Zelensky, all sorts of other cool things. So anyway, that's God working. So anyway, just want to, we'll do a prayer here in a minute for them, but just continue to pray for them. It's a big deal. And I say these things too, because it's reflective of what a lot of us are dealing with right now. So just real quick, we are in season for gardening, which is a big deal right now. And you should be getting your gardens prepped and ready. I would really encourage you to check out Tread Light Broadforks. This link is below all the podcasts, T-R-E-A-D-L-I-T-E, Broadforks. I have several of them. They are fantastic tools for the garden, no-till concept in gardening. I can't rave about them enough. The first time I came across a treadlight or a broad fork concept was studying John Jevons' method of gardening, which is double dug beds, and started that process back in, I think I started studying that process back in 1990 or 91, and have stayed with that method. It's been very successful for me. These are fantastic tools. They have a lifetime warranty. It's a family-owned business, and it's just a great product all the way around. So I'd really encourage you to check these out. I think everybody should have one, and it's worth the investment. It is also obviously as a tool, and I will tell you, I have drilled this tool as hard as it goes. I put it into soil that's as hard as concrete, not exaggerating. That's when I first did the beds over three years ago. And it has endured that process beautifully. It's obviously a tool, not a machine in needing gasoline or something. And it's a great way to do your beds and do them very efficiently. So I would highly recommend you check them out. I think everybody should have one. They're American made. It's a great family business. So again, Tread Light Broad Forks. This is the season to get geared up for that. It's really important. Okay. So, and you can find that link below. You can use your promo code BARDS when you get there, and you'll get free shipping. And there's a hyperlink below for all that. So just check it out. It's really awesome. All right. So here's the deal and why I'm bringing this. I want to go back to what this low sodium issue. There's been a bit of a mystery of what has caused, even in the hospital, there's been a little bit of a mystery with Leah's mom of what has caused low sodium. And I've been getting reports from other people that have talked about having low sodium right now. And here, someone just wrote in the chat, low sodium is happening a lot. Right. So here's what I'm finding. And one is that we don't have a lot of sodium in our diet. We don't have the right sodium. I'm going to be clear about that. I mean, you need to be ingesting sea salt. And there's a red salt that is mined out of Utah. These are good salts. A lot of people are hot on Celtic salt. I always laugh. If you can say Celtic, put a dream catcher and a kilt on it, you're going to sell it because there's so many people that think there's some magic thing in that. Sea salt, just good organic sea salt, is fantastic for you. I've done it for years. And someone has mentioned here, yes, it's Redmond salt. I use Redmond salt. I think it's the best. Okay, but here's what I've discovered, and it's definitely worth a consideration for where we currently are, and it's this. When you look at what causes low sodium, the first thing that came to mind for me was, are we dealing with radiation issues? Well, lo and behold, guess what? It's called hypotremia. You know I'm bad on these medical terms. Hypotremia. And hypotremia is a byproduct of cancer treatment when they use radiation, and it causes a reduction in sodium. Now, in correlation to this of what happened with Lee and Michelle, there has been work being done over weeks on the internet cables right near their house. Now, all of this leads to EMF. And if you are following Dr. Merritt, she has been talking lately that it is all this whole thing is about EMF. So I am really encouraging you to start getting into this. I am going to be talking to a company hopefully later today about some product lines to help reduce EMF in our home. It's big, and we need to have this, but this is a real by outcome. And here's another thing that's come from it. And if you go back and you study the Spanish flu and you understand what the symptoms were before they created the fake vaccine, that it was the cure that killed the people, not the flu. The flu didn't exist. what was the correlation to this is this radio tower started to transmit and people started to develop high levels of mucus in their chest. Right now, we're getting reports of people with high levels of mucus in their chest and low sodium. That leads to EMF, which is a radiation exposure. So I would really encourage everybody to start really looking at this in your homes. Here's something that's also crazy. Lead paint was banned after radio signals became normal. Now, why would they do that? Because apparently children were eating pieces of paint and getting lead poisoning? No. The fact is that lead, if we had had lead paint on our walls right now, we would not have EMF exposure in our homes. Isn't that interesting? I'm sure that's just purely a coincidence, and I'm sure that lots of children were peeling paint off the walls and chewing it like bubble gum. I mean, you have to wonder sometimes, like the stories that they tell people and why people are so inclined to believe them. And ultimately, it's at the root of the fear porn that they keep pumping into the society, and people just react. Now, hopefully, as a society, as a country, we're maturing a bunch. But we have to get really logical about this. There is a real need to start creating EMP barriers, EMF barriers in your house and in your house. And you know, just to highlight that, I am serious about these products. EMP Shield is a product I carry, we advertise here. I advertise it for a reason because it's another layer of that. So you have the EMF, which is the coming in, and then you have this EMP surge that they want to fry your entire electronics. This whole thing is based around frequencies. So just on that, and if you head over to empshield.com, check it out, and you can use your Bard's code, get, you know, $50 off, get free shipping. It's American-made, all that good stuff. But in all seriousness, we have to start developing, as we have a food strategy, we have to start developing a strategy to protect our homes. And that would be resistant to the pulse and surges, and as well the resistance to the impenetration of EMF. So that is something to really, really tee up on. It's important. And we're seeing it in real time. The thing about low sodium is once it happens, you can't just reset it. This is another thing I've learned. And this is all coming out of, you know, getting almost, you know, getting multiple feedbacks from Michelle and Leah through the day. And knowing them if you don't know them, I mean, obviously I would hope that you know who they are, Resistance Chicks, which is just a fantastic channel. They are deep researchers in this topic, have been. Like, we've covered the topic here since the COVID con began, and they dig deep into these things like we do here. And so they're really unearthing a lot of this to discover, like, what is it exactly that is causing this? There's no question that there is some sort of viral component to this. I have no doubt about that. It's probably, you know, viral mold, parasite, one of those things that they've spread around, probably sprayed it or whatever they've done. But the bigger part of this seems to be the EMF that's causing this. And again, if you correlate that with Dr. Lee Merritt's work, you start to really see something big going on, and it's significant. So really pay attention to that, and we'll talk more about that as we go along. Maybe even this evening I'll get into some of the protection issues. Might be a good thing. We're dealing with a very vicious cabal that is trying to upend the world and make it impossible for us to travel, trying to make it impossible for us to live. They want to restrict us down. And one of the fastest ways to limit people's movement is to, quite frankly, start creating environments where they can't operate and people don't feel they're safe. Here's an example in England, UK, as a man is now put in jail for 2 years. He's put in prison for stickers, which they claim to be anti-Semitic or hate speech. I'll read this real quickly. British man jailed for 2 years over stickers as PM whines about democracy. As unelected British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, that would sound very Indian to me, whined about democracy, a country that doesn't know democracy from anything. They have no democracy over there. They worship cows. A man in the UK was imprisoned for 2 years for the crime of distributing stickers that criticized mass migration. Yes, and the article continues. Yes, really. Sam Melia, who has a younger daughter and a wife 8 months pregnant with their second child, is behind bars after a judge ruled he had incited racial hatred by distributing stickers. Yeah, that's a crime. This is unbelievable. It really is. This whole thing is just nuts. And this is exactly where they're trying to take this country. UK's a little bit ahead of us. But, you know, when you're run by a bunch of lizard heads and a bunch of immigrants, they're all going to protect themselves. And don't forget the pedophile culture, which is massive over there. I think at times, I don't know if it's worse than us or not. We're about equal at this point in time. But this is it is about the institution protecting itself. And it's just insane. So this... That and as that happens then, and I just find it ironic that it's British Prime Minister, unelected British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. I guarantee that's Indian. Now listen to this report coming out of India. This is a group that runs a travel log. And a couple that it says a travel log couple is trying to visit every country in the world, decided to go to India as their latest destination. 11 hours ago, they announced they were in the hospital because he had been beaten up, that's the husband, and she had been gang raped by 7 men. Take a listen to this. So I will read it instead. I forgot this was in Spanish. She says, something has happened to us that we would not wish on anyone. 7 men have raped me. They have beaten us and robbed us, although not many things, because what they wanted was to rape me. We are in the hospital with the police. It happened tonight here. And it goes on. More details are available now. They were resting at a tourist market in Dumka on their way to Nepal when the attack happened. Vincent had a knife held to his throat while Fernanda was assaulted. 3 of the 7 suspects have been apprehended. What we're seeing here is an intentional breakdown of policing and an equally an intentional lifting of hatred. This is happening on 2 ends at the same time. And unfortunately, because so much of the world lacks a moral center, we are seeing just the ravaging of the worst soul of humanity coming out. They are doing this to create layers to prevent people from moving around. They are trying to limit travel. And the question you have to keep asking is why? Why? And this is a real issue that we're dealing with in this nation. We are dealing with continued pressures to keep people local. The whole agenda around COVID-Con was to lock people down and prevent movement. And we're seeing this increasing now as they couldn't contain people in their homes with a shot, even though had some measure of success. They've gone further now to try to create environments where literally people can't travel, and you can't travel freely and you can't travel safely. I mean, here's a Woody Harrelson piece. It's very interesting how this correlates. This was a skit done during COVID-Con. Just listen to this.
Okay, so the movie goes like this. The biggest drug cartels in the world get together and buy up all the media and all the politicians and force all the people in the world to stay locked in their homes, and people can only come out if they take the cartel's drugs and keep taking them over and over. I threw the script away. I mean, who is going to believe that crazy idea?
And there you go, just like that. It really wasn't any more complicated than that. Unfortunately, so much of our world has succumbed to that sort of thinking. Now, I played this yesterday morning. I do think it's very important to play this again. And this is a piece of a whistleblower from AT&T. This is about 8 minutes. I want you to listen to this, though, because this is really shaping the direction in which things are going. Keeping in mind that we are coming to some sort of cataclysmic event. And I don't know, we all hear the rumors of it, we keep feeling it, we know something's coming, and these elites keep bouncing back and forth between politics and promises and make America great again without substance and destroy America in the face of the liberal agenda. However that is, we're seeing a complete destruction of our country right before our very eyes, and people are literally paralyzed and not knowing what to do. Some of the core of that came out of COVID-Con. Because January 6th, that have created a psychosis in our nation that have prevented people from being able to take action. But while all this is happening and you're getting the look here, look there, don't look at me sort of thing, there are some very big things shaping up, and we're on the cusp of something that could be highly disruptive. So let me play this piece here. This is a whistleblower from AT&T, and very interesting discussion here.
There you go. James, what's happening?
What's going on, man?
So you work at AT&T. For all those that don't know, he works at AT&T. I believed him. You're in Florida, right? Are you in Florida?
I am, yeah.
So you're saying now that the switch, I don't know how you explain it, but one of the switches was attacked because they keep turning it on and off. Every time you guys turn it on, it goes off again?
Yeah, so basically what happens is on our servers, we have ports that go to our noise for the towers. And at any, I mean, we could shut, you could shut that stuff down. It's almost like a light switch, though, that there's different things that go into it. But every time it happened, it just got shut right back off. And so the only thing that we didn't understand is they could shut everything off. So if this was a plant, like basically everybody in the room here, including myself, is waiting for this big thing to happen. We know it's coming any day now. But my boss was saying, if they were going to shut it down, they could shut everything down. If they could do one, they could do them all.
That's what I was thinking.
So, but I do know a couple of, about 3 weeks ago, I'm also part of the disaster plan recovery for the United States on the sales side of this.
Wow.
So I'm the one that brings up the towers when they go down. And, they have been outfitting all the COs of AT&T with satellite phone and internet at their houses and in their offices. We just had one done locally. And I was talking to the electrician, and he's just like, man, it's so strange because we're putting 60K generators on tap at these guys' houses for some reason. Well, we've deployed over 100 generators to the cell site that have standalone cell generators. So there shouldn't be more than one pair. We have a stationary. If that goes down and needs maintenance or it needs recovered, then one comes in. No, they're doubling them up for some reason. And then the satellite connection, and then this, it just kind of comes together. It's like they know something big's about to happen.
So when you say they're doing the satellites, they're giving that to the workers? Is that what they're doing just to
to the leadership, to the big, not even just like my boss or my boss's boss, but to the CEO of AT&T, some of the VPs that are in the Florida, New York area, East Coast area, they're all getting outfitted with fiber that is going to have a direct connection to the satellite portion of the internet. So
wow.
There's only one reason why that happens. I mean, there's no other reason why that would happen other than they plan on something going down and there needs to be some type of communication happening, because there's no way that sat is going to provide for everybody. So there's no way they're going to bring that up and connect to a satellite. And a portion of our network does stream through the sat, but you have to pay for that, and it takes a different type of technology to where we're GSM, which is a global network. Verizon's a CDMA. T-Mobile's also a GSM network. And these networks, they all have one thing in common. They all need ground-based internet, and they all have a switch to some server. And there's not very many of them. There's one in Alabama, one in Nashville, not even as big. That thing that took place in Nashville, that wasn't what people thought it was. The servers, these are at what's at risk. And as far as credentials, man, I could send you all the credentials you need. I've been a part of AT&T for a very long time, and I used to be in the Georgia area. And, when this stuff happened about 5 years ago, I was talking to some bigger up people, that you can't even talk to in AT&T, and they,
Now, wait a minute, real quick. When you talk about something bigger, are you talking about the SolarWind hack?
Yes.
So, okay, that was big. That was under Trump, right? That big hack.
That's correct. But the problem with that hack is there's so many back doors now, they don't know where they're all at. And that's why it's happening. They don't know where the back door's at. And all they can do is bring the coders out and try to flex on the firewall to stop it. But it's just a matter of time. They said that it's so implanted that it would take a decade, a whole new program to get the back doors out.
Well, that's what I was telling people after the SolarWind hack. I said, they said they're not going to be able to figure this out for at least a couple years. And I said, there's something much bigger going on here than we're being told. And then you never hear about it again. Nobody even talks about it.
Nope. But this is something that we deal with every day, so the cyber attacks have increased considerably. I can keep you guys posted. The attack on the infrastructure in America, it's already in place. They're literally, whenever they want to push that button, they've admitted to it, that the back doors are so buried that it's going to take so long to do it. They literally, 7 years from now, the way it was brought to me, they'll have access to shut anything they want down. And the worst part of it is it's public works. It's like our water system.
Yes.
It's the grid.
And that's what I kept telling everybody. This big solar wind hack, people don't realize how deep of a hack that was. It went into government stuff. It went into our critical infrastructure, like you said, the water, the power. I mean, our dams, everything. I mean, they could literally shut things off at will. And I think they've been playing around with it just to see how they can do it, just to screw, you know, at this any time they want. But I think that, like, this might have been like a warning or something.
Absolutely. You think about it. We just sent five ships over in the Red Sea. And it's show of force, you know, hey, you guys, you want to mess around, let's watch this, you know. Personally, I'm not taking it as a warning. Personally, I take it as they're preparing for something big. I need to get ready as well.
Yes.
I don't know exactly how this is going to go, but if anything goes down, I'm the guy that recovers it. Well,
so do you think they're not going to make this as they're not going to tell the public about this as being a cyber attack?
No, they couldn't afford it with how big this one was. I mean, think about it. If the biggest telecommunication company in the world, and AT&T is, can't protect their firewall no better than that, you know, people ain't. I mean, their information flows to that. I mean, every transaction you do on the cellular network of AT&T goes through that cloud. Every information, your credit card information, your social security numbers, your names, your addresses, whatever you're doing, every transaction you have goes through that. Even with a VPN, you can go through any VPN you want. There's a cloud there. Someone's accessing that cloud. So you have to have a secured VPN now versus a regular VPN. It's the truth. You know, I mean, nothing's guarded at this point.
Let's just say that what we're talking about here gets out and then everybody starts talking about it. Then it's going to be like, this could actually blow up into something huge. I don't want you to get in trouble or anything, but, you know, if they don't want people to know this and it gets out, then what?
Well, you know, they might fire me. I'm talking about the things I actually know. You know, I couldn't see that. I couldn't see them, you know, letting me go over it or anything. They might have a talking with me, but I said some of the other stuff I know, because they'd probably let me go for it. But
yeah. No. Don't get yourself in trouble.
So you can see that there's something fairly significant building. These hacks are not small. And in the behind the scenes, we always look at what they're doing, not what they want us to see. And obviously there's a lot of preparation going on. As we go through the weeks ahead, I'm going to be spending more time on those fundamentals of county by county and parts of that which are critical, which is communication. And that's going to tie us into things like Flemingsburg. It's going to tie us into things like other alternative means of primary, secondary, and tertiary communication methods. But it's important that we also build local community to stay connected to one another and do what we can to prepare. We can't prepare for every single event, but the reality is that these people are intending to do a major disruption. And I think probably the core of the what it is rests here in this discussion of where the end game is for our Zionist cabal.
Now, they are building their own kingdom. It's the Jewish earthly kingdom with headquarters in Jerusalem, where their AI Messiah will be, and they're going to rule the world through the law. You know, it will be international, one law, one religion, basically Luciferian religion. So yes, in a Talmud, this is the Jewish earthly kingdom, and this is why the Zionist Christianity have embraced Kileism. And this is how Jews and Christians are getting together, and Christians are so deceived, thinking that they're working for the good thing, for the Jews, like they're helping the Jews. The Jews are supposed to get this kingdom. Yet this is Zoharic doctrine, and it does not have good intention. As I said, that they want to rule the world, they want to get Gentile riches, and they want to rule the Gentiles. They don't consider Gentiles fully human beings. And in fact, as an end game, they have this strange doctrine, Adam Kadmon doctrine, which Adam Kadmon originally was, according to Zohar and Talmud, he was androgynous, you know.
Adam,
like he wasn't male or he was male-female in one body, and this is why you see this transgender agenda today, and there are laws, very serious laws, passing in Alberta, Canada.
Is Zionism behind the transgender movement?
Yes, it gets its origin in Zionism, and it gets its origin in the Talmud, Zohar, and Kabbalah. It's a Kabbalistic doctrine of Adam Kadmon, which is eventually they have this doctrine called Tikkun Olam, repairing the world. Yes. So how do they want to repair the world? They want to bring it to the original. Who was original? Adam. He was androgynous. So now they're putting specific things in food and drink, and they're basically their end game is to make humans that on Earth that will survive whatever it is they're bringing androgynous.
Androgynous human beings.
Now they are building their own kingdom.
Androgynous human beings. This is their end game, and we can see it happening from everything they put in the water, like Alex Jones' famous thing. They're making the frogs gay. Well, this stuff is not. It's not conspiratorial. We're seeing it happen around us, and we're also seeing the agendas roll out here. What's interesting is how they control it. And I want you to hear this piece. This is a testimony from a former Mossad agent. Take a listen.
I was born in Canada, in Edmonton, Alberta. I grew up in Israel because my mother was born in Jerusalem. And my father was born in Canada. And he came to Israel to fight in 48. And I was born in 49. He really fought hard. But the thing is, I grew up in Israel. When I was in Israel, my children went to school in Israel. They were Israelis. One daughter was born in Canada. Just to give you a background on myself, I served in the Israeli army for 3 years. After that, I left Israel for a while. I came back. I rejoined the Navy. I finished in the rank of Lieutenant Commander in the Israeli Navy. I was then recruited to the Mossad. I reached the rank of Colonel in the Mossad. And that's when I left. The Mossad has a slogan, which is the anthem of the Mossad, if you want to call it. It's a biblical term. It says, by way of deception, thou shalt do war. And that's what's on the logo of the Mossad, which, by the way, the only place it's ever been seen is in on the internet on my homepage. Yes, is Judaism a race, a common history, a religion, a culture? Judaism is, I'll tell you, Judaism is, first of all, a religion. Then it becomes a nation. As far as race, there's a problem with that. I'll tell you why. Because most of the non-Sephardic Jews are descendants of a nation called the Khuzari, or the Khazarian. So there is no such thing as dual loyalty. This is a myth. People say, well, you know, the Jewish community has a dual loyalty. That's wrong. Either you're loyal to your country or you're not. There is no duality in that. You cannot be loyal to two countries. Never will Israel agree to have an Israeli support the U.S. the way they expect people in the Jewish community to support Israel. There are more people in Israeli jails for supporting or helping U.S. intelligence than you have Israelis in American jails. Because anytime there was a guy that was sat 15 years in Israeli prison, and nobody knew about him. He was a major in the Air Force, and he was arrested because he met with a secretary from the American embassy, and allegedly was intending to help the CIA. He didn't help the CIA. Nobody said he did. He intended. And 15 years later, they said that he's in jail. He was incommunicado. Nobody knew where he was. He disappeared. I had my second book. I had a record with my second book. I think my first book sold something around the world, close to 8 million copies. My second book was not reviewed in any newspaper in North America. Now that's a record. None. No, I'm sorry. I think the guy in the Phoenix Gazette and the people from B'nai B'rith walked in and asked for him to resign. Yeah, because he's an anti-Semite. Now, I know what they do because I used to ask them to do it. I mean, when I was in the Mossad and we had a guy that gave us problems in the U.S. and he was speaking out and he was talking like Pete talked once and said, Israel is bombing Lebanon with cluster bombs. We say, hey, who's that guy? You know, Pete McCaughey, we used to call him. Yeah, which is Pete the cockroach. Because he makes a lot of noise and you can't get rid of him. So what you do is you get in touch with a guy in the station in New York or in the station in Washington. You say, tell the guys at B'nai B'rith to label him. And of course the campaign starts, and before you know it, the guy's labeled. And he's an anti-Semite. Because that's what we say he is. And that's one stain you cannot wash. Now, it shames me as a Jew to tell you that. But that's the fact. And it's wrong.
It's a simple process in information warfare. Once you have enough momentum and leverage and you have the right tag, once you tag somebody with that, it is extremely difficult to wash that tag off. Media uses this method all the time, and they do so to silence patriots. If you're a J6er, if you're an anti-vaxxer, if they can make some scandal around your life, anything they can do, FBI can plant things on your computer, accuse you of things, and then the media runs stories to do a hit piece, and the hit pieces then amplify you as an individual and get you tagged. All of this is to keep the dissension and the dissented voice silenced. And then, as we've seen in the UK right now, then you roll out laws to back that up. Right now, they're doing a campaign to start taking land from the central part of the United States, and all of that is centered on a new white rural voter racism that they're promoting, because the objective is to steal 20 million acres, which is equivalent to over 13 states in size, 20 million acres to turn it into a solar farm. Take a listen to this piece here.
Joining us now, professor of political science at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, Tom Schaller, and journalist and opinion writer Paul Waldman. Their new book, out tomorrow, is entitled White Rural Rage, The Threat to American Democracy. And Tom, we'll start with you. Why are white rural voters a threat to democracy at this point? You would think, as we pointed out, looking at Joe Biden's background and Donald Trump's, that the opposite would be true.
I mean, we lay out the fourfold interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to the country. First of all, and we show 30 polls and national studies to demonstrate this, so we provide the receipts in Chapter 6. They're the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, anti-gay geodemographic group in the country. Second, they're the most conspiracist group. QAnon support and subscribers, election denialism, COVID denialism and scientific skepticism, Obama birtherism. Third, anti-democratic sentiments. They don't believe in an independent press, free speech. They're most likely to say the president should be able to act unilaterally without any checks from Congress or the courts or their bureaucracy. They're also the most strongly white nationalist and white Christian nationalist. And fourth, they are most likely to excuse or justify violence as an acceptable alternative to peaceful public discourse.
And we know that's most of that's just contrived in the way it's framed, which is important. But it's what they're trying to do is amplify up a justification for domestic terrorists, which they've already seen starting with Janet Reno back in the day when she started tagging veterans as the greatest threat to national security. So what you're seeing here in this is a framing and a shaping of the coming narrative, which is going to be a way to suppress free speech, a way to get people off the land, force them into whatever they want them to be, government housing, take their land back so they can seize that land and call it, that it will be solar farms, which likely won't even happen. But it all needs to be very concerning, because paying attention to what candidates are saying, as I've told you all along, I'm just going to go after truth. And where this concerns me a great deal is when we start to hear this rhetoric coming from the Trump camp about building tent cities. And we're seeing that under Trump, we had raging fires and raging weather storms. We have the issue of Maui, which we know was started. The Maui fires, we know, were started in part by directed energy weapons. We validated that as well within the Paradise fires. And now it's looking like the same thing has happened in Texas using directed energy weapons. All of these things are about consuming land and forcing people off the land. The Midwest is such a big area, and the relocation and seizure of farms is the big part of it. They know that they're not going to win that fight. So the impositioning of this, since they can't burn the people off, the two aspects in play are we have to sever the food supply for the public, which is going after the critical lands in Texas, so that the number one producer of beef, now it starts to see a massive decline in beef production, which will make us dependent on beef coming in from Argentina and Brazil, no longer domestically reliant. Then shift people into bugs, consuming bugs. This is not a joke, because Cargill and Tyson, which, by the way, Tyson is the guy that Trump put in charge of agriculture. Just to be clear, Tyson Foods now is investing $500 million per plant instead of beef processing into bug development. And then we have to get people off the land. Eminent domain is a critical part. It just so happens that Trump is a master at eminent domain. He's already declared that we need to build 10 cities, and they're going to try to force people off the Midwest land worth 20 million acres. The way you do that is you develop a model of white racism and domestic terrorism to seize their property legally through this legislative law structure that we have. Legally is not the right term, to seize their land through a legislative law structure. People need to start waking up. And the reality is that we're all being shaped and walked into a major trap, in my opinion. So we go back to where we started with this, or earlier on here with this AT&T report, and start to look at the bigger picture of where things are starting to unfold. Elon Musk is in charge of, as the number one company for producing electric cars. While everybody else is failing, Elon Musk, Tesla, continues to produce. And his factories are built on AI, robotics, and gigafactories that don't require many people. Important concepts. Elon Musk owns Twitter, which has become the number one social media site to exchange ideas. It's also the site where the biggest AI is being developed and the social credit score is being perfected. Everybody that's on Twitter actively is getting profiled for the social credit score by what you say and what you do. Not that I'm not profiled, since I seem to put out just as much content. Guaranteed I'm on somebody's hot list, and that's good. You have the increasing rhetoric coming out of Christian nationalists, which isn't being refuted by either candidate. Nobody wants to touch that. And because they're shaming and isolating Christianity as an extremist ideology, while apparently LGBTQ and cutting off people's balls is not. So that's where we are in that reality. Elon Musk also has SpaceX, which is putting the rockets in space, wherever that's going. And then we have the Skynet, that his free internet with satellites above there, and the next layer of that, which is the new military satellite system. All of this is supposed to be the new communication system, and again, the AI. So there's also discussion on Twitter of introducing the new digital coin. So you're starting to see the shaping of, through one man and through a massive backing of the military-industrial complex behind Elon Musk, all of which are in alignment with the Trump campaign. So these things should be very concerning to people, because this shaping is happening, and it's right before our very eyes, to where the concept of free choice is being removed. And the worst part about it is the idolatry that goes along with Trump and Elon Musk. People are willfully walking into the greatest trap ever. There's no questioning of what's happening. And how it's being sold is this new era of great zero-point energy, of new technologies, of new freedom. And then let's not forget the big deal Trump made in this last year about building 10 new cities. All those cities are going to be Internet of Things based. They're going to be privately owned. And they're talking about free, low-cost housing. How's that going to be? It sure sounds a whole lot like own nothing, rent everything, and you'll be happy concept. And the easiest way to make people happy is to dump them into all sorts of toys and gadgets that they can use. Flying cars, Trump's brought that up. New great things that make life seem so easy and so futuristic. It's a dystopian hell that people are walking into. They will start out being very much like a wonderful world. There is a study that you can get into if you want to dig into, and it's the building of Brasilia, which is the capital of Brazil. These same things were promised. They swashed out a huge chunk of the rainforest in the middle of nowhere to build this perfect idealistic city that has turned out to be literally a dystopian hell. It was designed perfectly to fit just a number of people, give everybody a perfect life, give everybody the right size house, et cetera, et cetera. It's completely failed. So these models, again, of engineered planning of humanity, this is all towards a bigger view of trying to restrict people's movement lock people down and roll us into this Agenda 2030, which is the new order of the world. And we're on track for this. And we're heading there quickly. But to get there, you have to break down the current system of government. You have to break down the current organization of civilization. You have to create hatred among classes so that ultimately you can roll in with a solution. And I'm telling you, this solution is looking more and more like it's going to be some form of an AI-driven governance model, because we're going to turn our authorities over to an AI. And where does that come from? What movie does that come from? The Day the Earth Stood Still. So these things are real and right before us, and it's important to stay vigilant. I know that when we say these things, we'll always hear the same thing come out of this, which is, what do we do? The world is over. And that is where the pivot is made. So here's the bottom line in all of this. We have to understand the magnitude of what we face, and it comes out always with three basic solutions that have to be part of our daily lives. Number one, we have to work on vigilance and resilience within our home. That means we have to work on self-sufficiency, growing our own food, getting our own jobs, and building a local economy, not dependent upon the corporate megastructure that's currently here. That can be done, because with that, you build the attitude of resistance. Once you build something you value, you will give your life to defend it. We have to stay local in our action. Local action. We're not going to affect the big corporate players. You're not going to affect the areas up in D.C. That's a game that has absolutely zero end effect to it. Stay focused locally on your elections, on your people, on the people that take jobs in government, all of these things. And this is where the greatest insurgency happens, is local, because from local, you can change national over time. The third element, which is above all things, is our faith in Christ. And that is literally where we realize how big this is, that the only place we can turn and move is through God. And once we turn ourselves and submit ourselves over to his authority, we assume and take the authorities that are given to us, all of this stuff just kind of falls away. But I paint these pictures so that we're very realistic about what's coming at us. This isn't some small event, and it's not going to be fixed by one man stepping into office or some dude running Twitter. This is a massive campaign to shift and reorganize and re-engineer humanity as we know it, and part of that is the transhumanist agenda. You have to know your enemy's threat. And once you see the threat and see it clearly, you know where you can pivot away from it, and you know how to resist. The one final part on this, which is important, is understanding that high technology ultimately has massive vulnerabilities, because high tech requires high levels of maintenance. Never forget that. So as we shift into this, one of the biggest lies going right now with the artificial intelligence market is that AIs are somehow growing beyond the intelligence of humanity. And yet you keep hearing the need or desire to integrate humans into AI. Why is that? It's not because we need to integrate in, as Elon Musk will tell you, to control AI. It's because they can't grow AI any further unless human beings are tied into it. Always think the inversion and understand the game that they're playing. They're selling this to a new generation that is all hyped up on technology and this new level of human existence through artificial intelligence. This is the greatest threat to humanity, not the AI itself, but the convincing of humanity that they need to be part of AI to save themselves. That's the trap. We have to step back from it. We have to find a simpler path, and we have to seek the ancient paths, which ultimately is Jeremiah 6:16. Patriots, let's pray. So we're going to begin a prayer today for Michelle and Leah's mom, and also for Texas, because it's been suffering pretty heavily. So Father God, I just want to step in and pray today. We lift our prayers up for Michelle and Leah Svensson's mom, who's been in the hospital. She's doing much better, and we just praise you for that and thank you. We just pray healing and restoration into the body, mind, soul, and spirit. Lift her up in prayers and just pray and declare healing over her. We just, as we've seen tremendous progress over the last few days, we just pray for total restoration of the body. We declare this in the name of Jesus and the authorities given to us by Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, we also pray for Texas right now, the ranchers who have just suffered a massive loss. We pray for the animals that have suffered major burns and the major losses that are going on there, in addition to the food resources that are needed to sustain those animals, your creatures we have been given the authority to steward. So, Father, we just ask for a coming together of hearts and minds in this nation to be able to contribute to the relief funds, to mobilize efforts where people have excess, to start moving feed into those regions, and to pray for those ranchers and cattlemen down there that are dealing with tremendous loss and difficulty in running their lives. this fire, whatever it is, Father, we're also just praying ultimately for a hand of justice for those that were behind this and ravaging lives and innocent lives unnecessarily. This was another work of evil to try to convince people of the lie of global warming and climate change and trying to force people into the concept of eating bugs. We rebuke that, we bind it, we cast it to the lake of fire, and we truly stand in the gap right now. We pray against this evil in the most pronounced way. As we pray into life in this world and life in the soil, we pray against the destruction of life as these fools and evil cabal intended it to be. And Father, so finally we make a prayer today for our nation, a nation that is waffling and struggling through an idea of awakening, getting pulled this way and that. We just pray for a clarity of heart and discernment on each person's heart, to hear the voice of Christ, to have the witness and experience of Christ in their lives, both in living or waking or sleeping moments, to truly experience the power of our warrior king as he steps before us, shows us the power of love and forgiveness and equally the might and glory of who he is. Father, we pray for a nation to humble themselves before you. And in this hour and in this moment, we ourselves repent for these burdens of this nation. We speak that from our heart as a repenting sub-nation within our nation to speak into this and say, Father God, we repent for this nation and we carry the burdens of this nation to try to bring our nation back to be submissive to the throne and to raise up the mighty warriors in Christ. So Father, we declare this in Christ Jesus' name. We pray for repentance and healing in this nation and the healing of hearts, and we lift them up in the glory of Jesus. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lots going on, so keep your eyes open and keep your head on a swivel. There's going to be a lot of craziness this month. It seems to be coming at us, and that seems to be unavoidable. A lot of this is going to be confusion. And so as we lean into this, just keep yourself anchored in Scripture. Just kind of a final word on this. I've told you I've been doing this regularly, super powerful. I got a pair of comfortable earbuds, by the way, that are not Bluetooth, but wired. I say that if you've used the Apple earbuds that are Apple standard, I swear they are designed intentionally to bruise your cartilage in your ear. But get a good Bible app that has a good voice part to it. And I'll talk about some of that a little bit later. I don't have it right in front of me, but there's a really good one I found that has great narration of the Scripture in NKJV. So put it on at night when you go to bed and let it play all night in addition to your scriptural reading. I am telling you, this is a great way to marinate in the Word. I have found completely that my sleep is better. I wake up more refreshed, and I just play it all night long. It's really amazing. So I would just encourage you to check that out and look for a good Bible app. I'll put some recommendations up tonight, and I'll have Nikki put some stuff up on social media as well. But anyway, really a good place to be. And so I would encourage you to do that. It just helps get the Word deep within us and just constantly absorbing ourselves with the Word of God rather than the nonsense that's in this outside world. And in the meantime, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tonight for Bards FM. Until then or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. Push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.